Hawa actually means help, and it's also, it's like screaming or crying for help, and therefore it's a synonym for genocide. So that what happened to us over ISIS was not the first time. We had that many, many times before, and therefore our women always, when the genocide was happening, cried Hawa, Hawa. And that is the reason why I called my documentary Hawa and also my NGO Hawa Help.
And the documentary is really partly a personal journey for you, isn't it? Just describe what you did in the film.
This documentary was a documentary which I planned when I was a little girl, because my father said, one day you have to tell the story of our religion. And I always answered him, Papa, no one is interested in our story. But ISIS changed that.
Michael, what are the priorities now for helping the Yazidis to recover? I mean, Daesh has been militarily defeated, but the scars for the Yazidi people will be there forever, won't they?
Yeah, I think on the one side, we should do whatever is possible to help the people to stay there. Most of 90-95% of the people, the Yazidis, they don't want to go. They want to stay there. They don't want the religious community to dissolve. But on the other hand, you have those very vulnerable people, especially women and children, that lost their husbands, that lost their fathers, that suffered sexual violence. They are now in a very vulnerable situation, even within the refugee camps. My advice is help the Yazidis to stay, but also help the very vulnerable to get out of the situation.
Duzin, can Sinjar be made whole again? Can your people recover their culture, their dignity, their ancestral home?
I think we have to make that possible, because it's about the future of Yazidi being. So in many ways, we've been comparing, for example, with the Jewish religion, where we said they had lived hundreds of years in the diaspora, but we haven't got this holy book. So therefore, we need these places, our holy places, to follow up our religion. So therefore, I think this is one of the most important questions, and we have to fight for our religion in the regions where we are from.
The Security Council has authorized a special investigation team to start bringing Daesh, mm-hmm. ISIS, to account. Mm-hmm. How important is justice, and how important will it be for the Yazidi people to see that justice is done?
Mm-hmm. I think this is very important, because that what happened to us because of ISIS was a life-changing moment for all of us, because we are a very small religion. And when I talk to the survivors of ISIS, to our women, they always say, my medicine is not to take medicine, my medicine is justice. This is the reason why they are so brave, and why they are here, and why they don't want to be hidden. They want to scream out Hawa and say, you have to help us, because we need justice. And many people say that Yazidis have to forgive, but to forgive also you need justice.
Are you hopeful that there will be full reconciliation, full restitution mm-hmm. of the Yazidi homeland? Mm-hmm.
I know how hard it is, but I will never say that I'm not hopeful.
Is there more that the international community, that the UN specifically, should be doing at this stage, Michael? I mean, is there still a sort of a lack of momentum internationally?
I would say that the UN did something really great, what we were not able to accomplish. We rescued the people, but we didn't have any public relations concept or that. We just focused on the humanitarian side, and suddenly you had, for example, Nadia Murad in the UN Security Council. You had like Najla Mato,
who's a Yazidi survivor of abuse and, exactly. and slavery.
Yeah, so many of the women we took out from Iraq, they became not only victims but survivors. They were ready to speak out, and the UN was among the most important institutions that were able to listen and that were willing to listen.
What are the wider issues at stake, do you think, that the world can learn from what's happened to the Yazidis?
I think discrimination always begins with the minorities, and this is something where we have to be very careful. And what I try to say is, don't to begin to fight against war and terrorism when it's too late. You have to be preventive, especially in Europe or US. This is not just a problem in the Middle East. It's a global problem. We have to find solutions how to fight against terrorism. And I think this brave women who were in the hands of ISIS are one of the answers. I try to use this documentary also like a positive weapon to make the people known and feelable what is happening. And I think to talk about genocide doesn't mean just to look or read in books about what happened many years before. You have to take the people there who are survivors, and they have to make it feelable.
Today we had the experience that people from about 20 countries and various UN agencies came together listening, talking. Of course, I'm working in a bureaucracy, and all bureaucracy all over the world are dominated by people saying that's not possible, that won't work, we've never done that. But there are people all around the world that want to make it possible. And I think it's very encouraging to see that some of these good people are convening in New York at the UN. I would say that in the future, it could be that no genocide could happen without the world taking notice.